you'll have a grand time all night long. But if you go drinking with hobbits, my friend, you may not want to wake up at all.
Welcome to Nerds on the Rock, episode 12. At some point, I'm really going to have to learn how to keep track of these numbers. This week's discussion shall focus on Marvel and DC and other mediums. Joining me this week, once again, is Eric.
Hello. So
you say, there we go. Nicholas.
Hey.
And for the first time, Dylan.
Hello, everyone.
Okay, so this podcast spun out of a Twitter debate about who produces better products outside of comics as far as Marvel and DC goes. And I guess the best place to start would be with movies. So who wants to kick it off?
Well, I can do that.
I'm not good at starting things.
Well, I guess if you go by quantity, in terms of how much they've actually put out, DC wins.
Isn't it Marvel has more?
No, it looks like DC has more stuff overall. Because this list here isn't including all the Batman and Superman serials and, like, the Shazam serials from the 40s.
Which, okay, I guess. I don't know if people would count those as movies.
Well, they're counting them for the Marvel ones. They have the Captain America serial in here. And the Amazing... They count as movies the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, some of the list from Wiki is kind of iffy because it's like... Not movies, but like sometimes they put together episodes of a TV show, Justice League. They have the Star-Crossed the movie, which is just the season 2 finale put together.
Yeah.
So,
Captain America from 1990. They have Fantastic Four on here from 94, which wasn't even released. So, I don't know if that counts.
It says unreleased right there, though. So,
yeah. I don't know if that counts at all.
I mean, but I guess...
You can get it.
And you can... I don't know if you want to watch it, but...
No. Oh, no, you don't.
It does exist. So, I guess we can start backwards. What are some of the worst comic book movies you've seen, and who's produced more crap?
Worst one I've seen is Batman and Robin, obviously.
I think Batman and Robin's probably the worst one everybody's seen.
I don't know. I've seen Catwoman.
I haven't seen Jonah Hex yet.
I have not seen Jonah Hex yet either.
I've not seen Catwoman, I've not seen Steel. So those could be up there.
Elektra for the Marvel ones.
It's not a great movie, but for some reason me and my friends just love the scene where she fights the sheets. it's probably one of the most ridiculous scenes I've ever seen in a movie. And it's just so badgy awesome. But yeah, I guess DC has the market cornered on really crappy superhero movies. They have Superman 3 and 4, Batman
Returns.
I like Returns.
I don't think Superman Returns is a bad movie.
Yeah, I like Returns.
It might not be the most exciting movie, but it's
a little misguided, I think would be the word.
Yeah.
But it's an enjoyable movie. I think they needed some type of actual threat so he's not like fighting an island at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it was a good movie. And I'm personally not a fan of like, we had these movies, but they don't exist. But these movies do, so we're just going to have to work with that. I understand Superman 3 and 4 aren't that great, but to just kind of, it makes it really confusing to say, this is a sequel to Superman 1, and someone a sequel to Superman 2, but not completely a sequel to Superman 2. But here you go.
I will say this for Superman 3. It had a scene in it that scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. And I have not. I refuse to watch it since then. This is a spoiler for the end. There's like a giant computer, and like it sucks this woman in with this like circuitry and wiring, and turns
her
into like
a freak meal too.
Yeah, it's scary, right? I got worried that a computer was going to catch me and turn me into a robot.
Yeah, you know what used to freak me out as a kid, and it's kind of weird and stupid now, is the scene in Batman where she throws water on his face, and it looks like his face is melting.
Mm-hmm. With the Joker?
Yeah, that used to freak me out as a kid, and I always avoided that movie because that's now I watch it and I realize that it's actually like the makeup he's wearing on top of his makeup that she's washing off.
Mm-hmm.
But as a kid, it just kind of because it's like flesh colored and it's melting off into this white substance, which turns out to be his actual face. But I was like 5 or 6 when this movie came out, so.
Looking at these two lists, I'm going to say that I think DC has more movies that were just should not have been made like were just straight up bad ideas. But Marvel has more movies, I think, that were wrong, that like got made, and you know, you could see something good in there, but they just completely messed it up and screwed up. Like X-Men 3.
Or Wolverine to some extent.
And Wolverine, definitely.
No, Wolverine to all extents.
Oh. Fantastic Four, Rise of the
Daredevil.
Silver Surfer.
I actually like Rise of the Silver Surfer.
I like Daredevil. The Rise of the Silver Surfer made me mad. It made me so mad, I made people go see it in the theater with me.
Wait, it made you that... Wait, are you saying that you...
I get the movie's free, though, so...
Okay, I was curious. I didn't know if you meant you saw it with people and you were mad that you took them to see it, or if you saw it and you're so pissed off you had to take them to see it to show them how bad it was.
I had to take them. I'm like, this is so bad. You have to come see how bad it is. I did the same thing with X-Men 3, actually. I'm like, this is so bad, you have to see this.
Yeah. I think, and Spider-Man 3, what are your thoughts on that one?
I love that movie.
Really?
I don't know why everybody hated that. Too much going on, huh?
Yeah, I'm an apologist.
An abomination.
I do not like Spider-Man 3 at all. I think what Spider-Man 3 is to me, it's like, you have Spider-Man 1 and 2, which are really good movies, and then Spider-Man 3 just kind of takes a dump on all of those, and it breaks that cardinal rule where you really shouldn't have more than one villain in a movie, because that never really works out.
I think what it was is there's a good movie, and then there's all the stuff the studio put into the good movie, too.
But I mean,
where they forced Sam Raimi to have Venom, and they forced him to do all that stuff with it.
So, which was the good part of the movie?
Well, I like all this stuff with Sandman.
Yeah, that
and
was
think,
good.
Really?
And then they kill him off like an hour into the movie.
You Sandman?
Yeah.
No, he's in it the whole thing.
No, they kill him. Remember, he kills.
He's
him
alive
the
at the end.
I mean, he's alive at the end, but they kill him off in the train station, so he's gone for like an hour and a half, and then he randomly shows up to team up with Venom at the end. Yeah.
Well, I think what it is,
dirt. It took a while to get together.
Yeah, I think what it was they could have taken all the Venom stuff out of the movie and just had that, like, you know, he gets the black costume and then, like, done the thing at the end where it gets on to Tobey Maguire. Not Tobey Maguire, whatever, Topher Grace. That could have been the end of the movie and that shot.
Yeah, that would have been a much better movie if they had made it two movies instead of one.
Yeah, and because the studio said to Sam Raimi, hey, you have to do this. And he's like, I don't want to. Like, you have to do this. Money. And you can tell that Raimi doesn't care about that part at all.
No, he doesn't care about Venom. He said as much. He said he never wanted Venom in the movie. And it kind of shot them in the foot, because at that point, I mean, they've been doing Spider-Man movies like every 2 or 3 years. But the next one's not due. It's 5 years between Spider-Man 3 and... I don't know if there's a name for the reboot yet, but
don't have a name for it yet.
If they have any sense, they'll call it Amazing Spider-Man. But
it looked like they did a promo post or something. I think I saw it on Collider yesterday that it just said Spider-Man 3D, in like the exact same font and everything. But
yeah,
I don't know if that was just a temporary thing the studio put out.
I hope they don't attach the 3D gimmick just to attach the 3D gimmick. But so do I. So, now that we've talked about the bad, what about the good?
Dark Knight.
I was going to say, I think DC has, that's DC's problem, is that they either make a really good superhero movie or a really bad. They don't really have anything in the middle.
Yeah.
Not yet, anyway. They haven't done enough. They've only done, like, Batman and Superman and then, like, a bunch of crap.
Yeah, because, I mean, actually, they don't have any good movies outside of Batman and Superman, do they?
Watchmen.
They don't have any good movies outside of Batman, do they?
Screw you, I love Watchmen.
Oh my god, I hate Watchmen so much.
I wrote a thing about Watchmen.
You wrote a fan fiction about Watchmen?
No, I wrote an essay about why it's good. About why it's different from the book and why they really... The stuff they changed... Yeah, I wrote a report for my one class a couple years ago about V for Vendetta. About how, in adapting it, they changed the story and made it its own thing. And
I actually like V for Vendetta.
I think they did that with Watchmen, too. Yeah, but I like V for Vendetta, too, but the book is way, way better.
I've never read the book, so I guess that's why I don't have an issue with it.
The ending's different, and the circumstances of how they get there are slightly different, too. Like, Natalie Portman's character is younger in the book, and there's not as much indications that she's in love with him and all this stuff. I don't know. I don't want to get into my essay now. I'll send you a link to it later if you want.
So, apparently Eric does not agree with the Dark Knight being a bee's knee.
I think it was touted for all the wrong reasons, that's all. I think what people thought were the best weren't I disagree with that. The best like parts what? Of movies.
Like what?
Like Heath Ledger. Like, I don't want to sound like a dink, but if he hadn't have died, I don't think it would have been as amazing as people thought it was.
Oh, no. Well, I don't think that's – if it wouldn't in the general public, I agree with you. I don't think it would have made as much money, and I don't think it would have been the quote-unquote phenomena it was. But I like all the reasons I like the movie are outside of just, oh, Heath Ledger's dead. His performance is still, like, just amazing.
Yeah.
But I feel Aaron Eckhart blew everybody out of the water.
I think most people give Aaron Eckhart the credit. I think really the biggest issue with that movie is the fact that Christian Bale plays a third fiddle.
And that growl voice doesn't work.
Because, I mean, it's pretty much Harvey Dent's movie, and then Joker's like the, you know, the element that runs throughout the movie, and Batman's just there because he has to be in the movie.
I think it was more like a three-pronged thing. It's all of them are, in screenwriting terms, it's all of them are reflecting on the other, and you need all three of them to get to the denouement at the end. Like,
well,
you can't
that,
have that movie without Batman in it.
But you can't have it without Batman, but I felt that he didn't, I guess the difference was coming from Batman Begins, where he was like the focus of that movie, to this, where he was just kind of pushed. I understand that they pretty much told his story, like, I have Batman as a character, but there's not much you can do with him, because he doesn't really have that emotional weight to carry a movie outside of his origins.
I would not necessarily agree with that.
No?
No.
I think Batman's
one of those characters where you can do any movie with him.
Yeah, you can do any movie with him, but if you, for the most part, other than Batman Begins, he's never really the focus in any of his movies.
Well, I think that's a problem with the Tim Burton movies.
I guess it's the case for Batman Forever, but Batman, everybody always says, like, Jack Nicholson's Joker is the, you know, he's like the star of the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Burton, and I also think that the fact that he didn't give Keaton anything to do with except for stare at the screen, Archie.
Mm-hmm.
Batman Returns, they had the love affair with Michelle Pfeiffer, which is, I think, the best part of the movie.
Yeah. I just watched that a few months ago, and I kind of flipped out. I'm like, I don't like this movie as much as I used to. What's wrong with it?
It's still one of my favorite movies. It was my favorite Batman movie until The Dark Knight came out.
Those are the Batman movies. That's my opinion.
Not a fan of Batman Begins and The Dark Knight.
Well, I won't say that, man. Like, I do own them. I won't deny it. But, like, I never ran out to see Batman Begins. I was like, another Batman movie. How many more Batman incarnations can I see? Like, I read some comics, and I've seen pretty near every cartoon, bought every damn DVD I could find. So I stayed away from it. And then I rented it, and I was like, that was pretty good. So I ended up buying it. And that's why I ended up going to the second one. I was like, well, first one was pretty good. Second one should be good. But after I got out of the theater, my ass was numb. Keith was the man. That's all. I don't know.
Well, did you see it in IMAX or did you see it in a normal theater?
I guess it was a fancy theater for me because I'm from Hicksville, but it wasn't IMAX.
I mean, I'm not gonna. I love the IMAX shots in that movie. I'm not gonna say it makes it better or worse, but the first two times I saw it in IMAX.
I could see that making a bit of a difference.
I saw Begins in IMAX. I didn't see Dark Knight.
Well, I was going to say that the difference is that The Dark Knight actually has scenes filmed for IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like if you watch a movie and like part of it's shot in high def and then the rest of it's standard definition, you can tell the difference. Some awesome shots though. There's Batman. What about what's the top?
Before we're done with Batman, I just want to bring up something that kind of ruins the first Tim. Like, I like them a lot, don't get me wrong, but every time I watch them, it just irks me how he kills pretty much everyone in them. Like, I know that's Tim Burton's thing, but bothers me.
That's the thing with comic book movies in general, because the first two Spider-Man movies killed off their villains as well.
Mm-hmm. That's why I like Batman Begins so much, because they actually left the Scarecrow alive in it.
And technically speaking, Ra's al Ghul is, I mean, you assume he's dead, but...
But they don't show you.
Yeah, there's a back door for him to come back.
And the Joker's alive in Dark Knight, even though he's probably never going to show up again.
Yeah, stuff like that. And X-Men, I mean, Magneto's always kept alive, even though that just gets to be a joke at some point. And Sandman's kept alive at the end of Spider-Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
But they do blow up Venom.
Yeah, I think you just wanted to do it so they wouldn't use him again.
Yeah.
So what do you think are the top films for Marvel?
Iron Man would be up there for me.
Yeah, Iron Man, Spider-Man 2, X-Men 2. X-Men 2 holds up really well.
Yeah, I think X-Men 2 kind of gets the short end of the stick sometimes because I don't know if people don't mention it as much, but I think it's my favorite Marvel movie. Like, I followed up with that movie during the mansion scene.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely up there. And dude, I love the opening of that movie is just flat out good filmmaking. It's just that straight up good opening to a movie.
Yeah, my problem is,
okay.
My problem is I find X-Men boring and I think X-Men 3 is bad.
Yep.
The first one, I think it was definitely an intro movie. I think there's good stuff in it. It does drag a little at points. But it's just a good, solid little movie. Yeah.
You can tell they didn't have the biggest budget, too, if you watch it now.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the first... I mean, it was like V8 and stuff, but it was like that... It's the resurgence period. That's like the first major movie that started this whole kick.
The new renaissance, yeah.
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 Since Batman and Robin had killed the last one.
My personal favorite movie for Marvel is the last Incredible Hulk movie, but that's because I like
the Norton one?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't argue with your guys' picks either, man.
I liked Incredible Hulk.
It was a really good movie, especially after the original one, which wasn't that great. It wasn't bad. It was just kind of
boring. I was excited for it at the time, and then I think it was my third trip to the theater. I realized I took my nephew, he was six, and he was just squirming in his chair, and I was like, wait, we've been sitting here for 40 minutes since this movie started and still no Hulk.
Yeah, it's I kind of have that thing with Batman Begins on repeat viewings, is that you don't see Batman for the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
True.
His origin stuff is kind of interesting, but if you watch it more than once any time consecutively, it's just like, you know what, can you hurry up and get Batman on the screen? Are you paid to see Batman anytime now?
Mm-hmm.
What about the Punisher movies?
I like Warzone a lot. I think I had this argument the other day.
I like the Tom Jane one, but Warzone, not a big fan of.
I've not seen Warzone, but I do enjoy the Thomas Jane one. I was disappointed when they took him out of the role.
I think he kind of took himself out of the role by being in a hit movie. I like Tom Jane. I think Tom Jane should have been Jonah Hex, actually. But
yeah, well, he was in the short on the Batman Under the Red Hood disc.
Oh, is that him?
Cool. Yeah, he does.
Very cool.
Just to go back a bit, I mean, we talked about Batman, but what about the 60s movies? Does anybody count that as a movie?
Yeah, I actually watched it a few weeks ago. It's fun. It's just a fun movie. It's not Batman, really. He straight up tells Robin, oh, we're going to kill some people. Batman doesn't straight up kill. Yeah, but he said he was straight up. He actually says it. Well, I forget what the exact line is, but he basically says, yeah, we're going to kill some people.
Which one are we talking about?
The Adam West one.
Yeah, the Batman. Batman.
If you go back, it's not a movie, but if you go back to the old serials, like the black and whites, I can't remember, I think it was the 40s ones, Batman is a racist, man. Like, it's
what everybody was.
Oh, it was just, I'm just like, whoa, cool, totally PC, I can't believe they released this. Crazy.
I love that movie. It has that thing, like, it's kind of Batman and for Batman and Robin camp, but it goes for camp and it knows it's doing it well, where Batman Forever and Batman and Robin kind of, I don't know if they don't know they're going for it, but it's like they try to take themselves seriously while being campy.
Yeah.
And it just never works out for them.
It just falls on.
It was a fun movie though. I did like it. It was fun.
My favorite scene, other than the, you know, there's a bunch of fun scenes in that movie, like the Bat Shark Report scene.
Is now an internet meme too.
Yeah, the scene where he's running through.
Yeah, I like him running around with the bomb.
Yeah, there's just some days you can't get rid of a bomb.
Exactly.
and the scene at the Commissioner Gordon where they're talking about like all known supervillains at large, and they just make the most outrageous stretches, like that shark was pulling my egg, the Joker, but the incident did happen at sea. C for Catwoman? And it's just like, what are you talking about here? What about the Superman movies?
Richard Donner's, man. That's it.
I like Donner's stuff. I don't know if they hold up as well.
I think Superman 1 still holds up really well.
Hell yeah.
There's still some stuff in it I go like the amnesia kiss.
That's spinning
around.
Man. That's the butcherment of Superman 2.
Have you seen the Richard Donner cut?
No, I haven't seen the Richard
Donner cut. I've seen it.
I mean, I think they both have parts where they need work, but as a whole, I think his is better. He doesn't have that retarded S thing. I don't even know what you call it. But you know when he throws a piece of his costume in that goon?
Yeah, and it turns into the big plastic thing.
Yeah.
It was something else. Oh, when he flies around the Earth so fast it reverses itself.
Yeah, that I have
time
issues
reverses.
With.
Like, that doesn't... That's... No! I mean, yeah, you're defying physics with the guy who could fly, but still, you gotta stick to a basic thing of... No!
Why not? Superman was known to travel through time all the time before. Right?
But isn't that time travel from that, or was that something before that movie? Because I've never heard of him having that power.
His time travel was just that he had, like, a time machine. It wasn't that he just flew backwards.
He's been able to travel through time. He's been able to travel through time by using his speed before. I've seen that on Super Friends a couple of times. But I don't take anything on Super Friends that's canon.
No,
so I don't know if he's able to do it in the comics. I mean,
he was a member of the Legion of Superheroes.
But yeah, but that was different. That's actual time travel, not
future.
We're talking two different Supermans though, right? Pretty much. Like there's what is it? The Golden Age, which they call Earth 2 Superman now.
There's three different Supermans.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's very
way
confusing.
Too many Supermans.
Yeah, and there's actually even more than that if you want to consider each revision with Infinite Crisis and Final Crisis too.
Yeah, that's to say it's not confused people with talks of multiple Superman and stuff like that. It's bad enough comic readers have to deal with it.
See, now I'm just thinking of Venture Brothers from last Sunday where there was a joke about two different Batman on it.
Oh, yeah, when what he wanted to beat is the Golden Age Batman and
Post-Crisis Batman.
Yeah.
And I was laughing my ass off because I'm like, I love that!
I love
Post-Crisis Batman.
No, that's two different Batmans.
Post-Crisis Batman is the badass ninja prepared for anything. Grant Morrison loves him, Batman.
Well, Batman's always prepared for anything.
It's true.
Or at least he should be.
He should. I mean, he prepared for his own death, apparently, so.
Yeah,
we do.
The guy had contingency plans. Wow, that comes out wrong. So what about movies going forward?
Movies that haven't come out yet?
Yeah, I mean, Marvel has three of them scheduled for next year.
Thor, hell yeah.
I'm looking forward to X-Men.
I can't wait for
that. I'm not looking forward to X-Men either. I'm still kind of iffy on the fact. I mean, have they started shooting yet?
Yeah, I have to see a trailer for it. There's pictures online of the January Jones and White Queen costume.
Okay, because I have to say, they just finished casting like two months ago, and the movie's out in like, what, June?
Something like that.
So, yeah.
It's Matthew Vaughn, though. He films and finishes stuff really fast.
Which isn't a good thing.
Why not? Even like you guess.
He prepares a lot beforehand too, so it could be a good thing.
But the thing, I guess I don't know. It's just like the movie was announced and scheduled for release within 1 year of when it was announced. So I don't know how much pre-production was done before they made that announcement, because like they were still casting roles and stuff. So
I'm being cautious with it because I like the cast, I like the people in it, but I also don't know if they're using the continuity from the previous X-Men movies or not.
I think it's...
And I remember hearing a rumor that they were trying to cast Tyler Lautner as Wolverine, and I virulently disagree with that.
I disagree with him in any...
Oh, was that the kid from Twilight?
Twilight,
yes.
Yeah. He's the werewolf guy.
How did he work
his
way into this conversation?
I don't know. But I like
he's
Michael Fassbender.
He's sparkled and shined.
I think Fassbender's Professor X, right? Or is he Magneto? Fassbender's Magneto.
Yeah.
And then James McAvoy's Professor X.
Yeah. With hair, apparently.
I like that casting.
I gotta tell you.
There's a shit ton of people in this movie, though.
Yeah.
As far as new Marvel comes out, I fear for a lot of them, to be honest with you, because of the culmination of the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
They're making a new Ghost Rider movie?
They're talking about it, yeah. I don't think it's filming yet. I think that's a lie.
Oh, I was about to say, is Nicolas Cage in this one?
Yes.
Oh. Mm. I did not know they still made him.
I never actually saw the first one, though, so I don't really have an opinion yet.
You didn't miss much.
I don't even care about any of those movies because they're making a Thor movie, and it's going to be out. It's going to be awesome.
I'm kind of curious how Thor does. I'm curious how Thor and Captain America do.
I'm looking forward to Captain America more.
As long as Thor is epic, it will be right up my alley. I like Kenneth Branagh as a director because he always goes really big and ridiculous. And I kind of want the entire movie to be scored by Dragon Force.
I'm just kind of curious how it plays out. And the Avengers movie should be an interesting experiment. Now, there's been talks on and off about DC doing something similar. Do you think it could work for them?
I don't know.
I think they need to take a bit of the same approach and let the general, release solo movies beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, they need to work on getting properties other than Superman and Batman out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have Green Lantern, but for the most part,
they have Flash that's in the writing
pre-production
stage.
Hell. Yeah, they've had Flash movies for like 10 years now. It's the same deal with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So we shall see. And they have Superman, which they haven't announced anything much other than that it's coming out in 2012, is it?
Yeah, I don't even think they said that. I think that was just like a rumor. I know Christopher Nolan's like a producer on it, though.
But he's like overseeing it, which makes sense. I mean, at this point, I think the guy could ask her to rape somebody's daughter at Warner and they would give him the right.
Mm-hmm.
He's made so much money for them.
Nice.
He has. I mean, between two Batmans and now Inception, the guy's made, what, $300 million movies in the last 6 years?
Yeah.
Inflation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they want to keep him happy. So I guess final thoughts, Marvel or DC for movies?
For live action movies?
Yeah.
I think DC wins just on quality in terms of the ones that were good are so good. I think Marvel has more movies that are good though. You know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like DCs are just so awesome.
I agree.
But they have more crap too.
Yeah, that's what I said. DC has the top movies, but they also have the bottom of the barrel, and Marvel fills out everything in between.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Marvel has anything as bad as say Batman and Robin or Catwoman or still.
At the same time,
they don't have anything as bad.
I don't know. Have you guys seen Man Thing?
Man Thing?
Bad movie.
What's weird is looking at this Marvel list, just the movies of the past 3 years, the only one I didn't like that much was X-Men Origins Wolverine. I loved Iron Man, loved Iron Man 2, liked Incredible Hulk, loved Punisher Warzone, though I think I'm alone in that.
I like it, but there's something wrong with it. I haven't figured out what yet.
It's ridiculous. That's the only thing that's wrong with it.
If you get the year before that with Ghost Rider, Spider-Man, and Rise of the Silver Surfer, that was a bad year for them.
Yeah, there was a bad run.
Actually, if you go
back a few years, there was a bad run for
Spider-Man. Yeah, I was going to say. What makes Spider-Man 2 until Iron Man, that's a really terrible run for them.
Yeah. Oh God, Blade Trinity. Oh God.
I like Trinity.
I like Ryan Reynolds in it. And
Ryan Reynolds is in everything, though.
Say hello to my daughter.
Hi.
Sorry.
She a banshee?
Yeah. I try to teach her how to sing death metal style, and she thinks it's funny when I'm doing it.
Awesome.
But it ain't so funny when she's doing it.
They're not as great as some of the DC stuff. There's just more I like, and I'm looking forward to their movies more at the moment.
Well, I assume because DC doesn't really have anything announced other than Green Lantern.
They have Batman in development, but they haven't
I don't know if you saw this interview that came out yesterday with Christopher Nolan where he's like, we set a date, and I'm on it, but the first year Warner hasn't greenlit the movie you'll make yet. You set a date, and you have a director, but nobody's okayed the movie.
Well, not that they okayed it, but they didn't greenlit it. It's a semantics thing. It's like with The Hobbit. You know The Hobbit is going to get made. They have the funding. They have all the stuff they're doing beforehand. Because it's technically not greenlit, they can't start casting for it.
Ah. But I mean,
because that studio,
Batman's
already
kind of cast. You have Christopher, you have Christian Bale, you have Michael Caine,
Morgan Freeman.
Wait, it's a Christopher. Wait, it's a Christopher Nolan movie, and Michael Caine's in it. The devil, you say?
So yeah, I mean, they got the cast, they got a director, they have a script.
Supposedly,
they have a date. They just apparently haven't been given the okay to for this movie to exist.
Yeah, they like to time their announcements to overshadow other things.
Oh yeah, I'm hoping it comes up at Comic-Con.
It's totally, you know, it's totally getting made, and they totally know it's getting made. They just don't want to tell people it's getting made yet.
They totally already it's getting made. It's just like they're dragging their feet to announce it, or a name, or anything that people want to hear.
Yeah. Actually, my friend got me the other day because she put up a link that says, Christopher Nolan announced his name of a new Batman movie. And I click on it and I got Rickrolled.
Nice. What do you think the name should be?
Well, let's have a think here.
Dark Knight.
The Bat, maybe?
That would be good.
The Dark Knight Returns actually works for this one because of how it ended in his Road to Ass movie, but I don't know if they want to go that route.
No, they don't. They want to make that movie at some point too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight Returns movie. I think it would be awesome if they do this third Batman movie, take 10 years, and then do Dark Knight Returns.
I hope not. I'm not a fan of that series.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Have
you read Dark Knight Strikes Again?
No, I've heard that's even worse. So.
No, it's not worse. It's insane. It is literally, you can read it and you say, Frank Miller has actually lost his mind doing this.
I was about to say, isn't that All-Star Batman and Robin?
No, it was way before. No. That's just a continuation of the insanity.
But that's what I mean. That's the story where he lost his mind with Batman. I mean,
it happened way before that.
I mean, Frank Miller is an awesome writer when he's on, but he has some really... I'm sure that's going to happen to Grant Morrison at some point where people are just going to give him so much shot that he's just going to make the most insane bet.
All his stuff is already crazy, but it's crazy in a fun way. It's not crazy as in, why do you hate women, Frank Miller?
Yeah, that's kind of, I think Mark Miller hates people whenever I read his comics.
Yeah, Mark Miller hates everybody.
So
let me rephrase that. Mark Miller hates his readers. That's what it is.
So it seems, because that guy is just always so morbid and sees the worst in people. And that's why I can't read his comics, but I assume somebody here is a huge fan.
That'd be me.
Yeah. You enjoyed Nemesis.
Oh, man. Did you read the last one?
Boom. No, I cannot read that comic.
That's the one where the concept is basically what if Batman was evil, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's evil. Excellent.
I don't think I've ever actually read Mark Miller thing yet.
No, don't start now.
If you're going to read anything, read Superman Red Son, because that's really good.
That's actually pretty good.
I did see that at a store recently, so maybe I'll check it out.
That's really good. And you know what? That was actually based on an idea given to him by Grant Morrison. So we come.
That makes a bit more sense.
They worked together on The Flash.
Yeah, they worked together on a bunch of stuff. Aztec.
I didn't even realize I was reading his comics years before I was like, ooh, what's this wanted? Who's this Millar guy? What the? What? Oh, look at that.
Civil War. What is that?
Yeah, not quite that late.
Oh, actually, then I've lied. I have read some of the Civil War stuff, just not of his original stuff.
Civil War is what made me stop reading Marvel Comics for a while.
Really?
Yeah. That book pissed me off so much.
No, I've been reading it on their online comics, so I already have knowledge of what's after, so I'm alright with it.
I didn't know where to go after Civil War, so I just kind of drifted away from Marvel again. I'll jump in for some of their events and never know where to go. I read Messiah Complex, and that's where it often takes 16 different stories. With was it Cable with the kid or Bishop? It's Cable as a kid.
Yeah, it's both. Cable has the kid, and then Bishop is chasing him.
Yeah, and then the X-Men and then I know they had Utopia and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't keep up with X-Men.
I tried to jump in on the Second Coming, but I was just completely lost.
Yeah, because you have to read from House of M or something like that.
Yeah, I'm reading. I would just read the events. So I read I read Civil War, got pissed off. Then I read World War Hulk, because I'd read Planet Hulk before it, so I wanted to see where that went. And the ending of that made me mad, too. And then I read Siege.
Smash.
And then I read Siege, and Siege's like, wow, this is the first Marvel event in a while that I actually like how it ends.
I didn't like how Siege ended, because to me it was just like, oh crap, we've been telling stories for 10 years and we promised everybody we'd end them now.
I like
so like some of it was like scrolls in Times Square announcing that the superhero act is over.
I skipped over Secret Invasion. I didn't like the way that ended either.
That was my favorite.
I would say, I think Civil War is my favorite, and it's also the basis for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool.
I like that game.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
I played the demo of it. I never got the actual game. Demo was fun.
Well, I mean, since we're already talking about, I guess Marvel versus DC in video games, not that either company really makes great video games. Well, that's not true anymore. Arkham Asylum,
I beg to differ with you. I also say, Lego Batman. But.
I was about to say, it's once again the same situation where Batman carries the DC side of stuff.
Yep.
Because, I mean, Arkham
Asylum. The only hero I think that it's easy to make a game concept out of. All the other ones, you have to somehow account for their powers, and you can't, there's so many different creative ways to use, like, say, Green Lantern or the Flash's abilities. They can't program it.
That's why I'm kind of curious about the Green Lantern game they announced for next year, because I don't know how much control they're going to actually give you.
Yeah, that's the problem.
As far as his ring goes. There's some good Spider-Man games as well. I hear Shattered Dimensions good after that's paid, but I
actually I heard that's basically Arkham Asylum with Spider-Man.
Spider-Man Noir is like Arkham Asylum, but the rest of it's paid. Like I guess like Spider-Man, the other Spider-Man games where you get your web as part of your attack and stuff.
And I like
that's the problem. It's not have that open Grand Theft Auto type feel, you know.
You see, I'm okay with that because I didn't really care for it in like Spider-Man 2 and 3 or Web of Shadows. Because for the most part, all you do is you web around and you randomly find like some old JD hanging off some edge or somebody robbing a bank or you have to chase down their car. And that was pretty much the three missions.
I like
that. Or in Spider-Man 2, you had to fight robots for some reason. I don't even remember why.
Fighting robots is fun. I didn't notice. I was listening to a podcast the other day, War Rocket Ajax. And dude was talking about it, and I didn't know that all the voices were people from the various animated shows.
Yeah, it's
and Neil Patrick Harris.
Well, he's from the animated series.
Yeah. The MTV one.
Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris is, I think, amazing. Ultimate is the guy from Spectacular. Noir is the guy from the animated series, and I think the 2099 is the dude from Amazing Friends.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Yeah, that was an awesome touch, especially being that usually they get the worst person to play Spider-Man in these games. Like, Tobey Maguire never bothered to show up for casting, so they always got some sound alike.
Well, again, it's like with Arkham Asylum. They got Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill to do their voices.
Yeah, and they're reprising it for Arkham City, which should be awesome.
Should be. One of the next three games I'm like looking forward to most.
I want to play it. I played it on the DS. I want to play a Wii version of Brave and the Bold because that looks like great.
I hear that's a lot of fun.
I like Maximum Carnage on the Genesis.
Oh wow,
that was for the Super Nintendo, I believe.
Yeah, that game was tough as hell.
Yep.
Anybody ever play the X-Men game for Sega Genesis?
Which one?
The first one, just X-Men, the one based on like the Jim Lee 90s X-Men.
Ooh, I've played a bunch of them. I don't know.
Like, there was a part in the game that you had to hit the reset button.
Oh, I think I've heard of that.
It was like the way to get out of Mojo's world. Like, you had to hit a reset button at a certain part of the game or you couldn't move on.
That sounds like Psycho Mantis from Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. It was just screwing with people.
Oh, was it good? Do people consider the Marvel vs. Capcom games comic book games?
Not really. They're just fighting games that happen to have a Marvel skin over it.
It's a fighting game.
Yeah.
I was scared, because, I mean, those are considered good games, but I never really considered them like comic book games, because it's like, it's Capcom making Capcom games, and it has Marvel characters in them.
Exactly.
It's like...
They were fun, but...
They're awesome games.
Like the DC Mortal Kombat thing, same thing.
Yeah, that wasn't as good, but I guess they don't have as much say when they own by the same company, so it's not like they can go outside and look for other people. I would ask to name some bad comic book games, but we'd be here all night.
Yeah.
Yes, we could.
There's a lot of them.
Two stand out in my mind.
I feel you could do that with anything, though. You could just say, "What's name the bad blank," and there'll be that'll be a much longer list than the good one.
I would like to name another good game. What was it? Ultimate Destruction, The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Yep. Never played that.
I have that. It's one of the few games I actually bought for my 360 that was backwards compatible because I loved it so much the first time. It's pretty much like an open world Hulk game where he gets to do anything. Like, I love ripping up cars and half them using them as punching. And they don't really mimic that with the rest of the Hulk games. I don't know why.
No, the last one did. It was horrible.
And while it's not the great. Yeah, but I think that's his move from the comic books that he does. Isn't it? Well, you would know.
I don't remember too many. I know he pick up a car in each hand, not necessarily lift tear one.
And while it's not the best game, I kind of enjoy Superman Returns. I like how his health wasn't health, but it was tied into the city.
Yeah, that was cool.
Because I mean, it's like what is it, Superman 64 that decides to make the whole city covered in kryptonite fog?
That is one of the worst ones out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a terrible, terrible game as it is, but that's such a stretch that there's enough kryptonite that somebody just decides to make a fox cloud out of it across Metropolis. I guess there's not enough games to say either way definitively if DC or Marvel's better, but I guess once again, DC has the top shelf stuff because of, like, Arkham Asylum and Brave and the Bold and the Go Batman.
I don't know. Wait, hold on, man. I had fun with Wolverine Origins. I thought that game was okay.
I've heard good things. I enjoyed the demo. I've never played it because it just came at a time where I was busy with other games.
Same with me.
I love the X-Men Legends games and the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games, but...
Yes.
I wouldn't call them great games. They're enjoyable and fun, but they're good.
They're a little out of date now. That's why, I mean, I don't know if there's much of a comparison there. If it's a fair comparison anyways.
It's a fair comparison in the fact that you get to use a bunch of different powers and stuff. And you get huge teams. The thing is, like, most of the powers are just, like, pilot swaps of other powers.
Yeah, well, everybody has a power set, I guess.
Yeah. So, I would give it to DC just because of stuff like Arkham Asylum, which is not just a good superhero game, but it's a really great game on its own.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you get like, oh, you know, this is good for a comic book game, but this is just good for a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd go with DC too, probably.
I disagree.
Oh? So what do you disagree on? I mean, I don't know. Weren't you the one bragging about having a 1,000 gamer points in Batman Arkham City Asylum today?
I was thinking about that when you were talking, man. I'm like, you know, it's an okay game, but once it's done, it's done. Same with Batman Lego. I had a lot of fun with that, but once it's done, it's done.
But isn't that with any game?
No, I don't think so. Multiplayer games aren't like that. So,
well, I mean, but I'm talking about...
Like the last Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which you can play multiplayer online.
Yeah, which I do. I still do. I was playing it last week.
You go.
But as a whole, I don't think that game stands up to Arkham Asylum as a game.
I guess.
Yeah, that's just different. That's different game philosophy. Like, do you value a game that's just a complete experience in and of itself over a game that's can play forever?
Yes, yeah. I go with replayability.
Yeah.
So. Really? How do you have time with your 55,000 gamer points? I mean, at worst, that would be 55 different. That'd be 55 different games you're playing. And I assume you didn't get 1,000 achievement points in all of those, so you don't have a small collection of games to go through. Never mind.